This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Honorable Sheikh and our lovely audience. We are in the second session of Ramadan Retreat 2016 and we have an amazing topic for tonight as well. Our first session was held on May 20 by Sheikh Abdurrahim McCarthy, where he spoke about the various du'as we could benefit from during the month of Ramadan. He also emphasized on the etiquettes of making du'as. Alhamdulillah, the session was very well received. But if you've missed it, you can always access the recording. The link will be posted in the chat box right now. Please do listen to it, of course, after the session and not now. As for today's session, the topic is introducing Ramadan to kids. While raising kids, many a times we are faced with situations where we don't know how to introduce a certain concept to them, or perhaps how to instill the love for our deen in their hearts. For some of us, it just becomes a monotonous routine of teaching our children Islam just like any academic subject, which in a way takes away the love of Islam from them. But today we have with us Sheikh Ismail Kamdar, who will help us with step-by-step instructions on how we can introduce Ramadan to our children in a way that they will love, inshallah. But before that, just to let you know a little bit more about Sheikh Ismail Kamdar. He is the faculty manager of the Islamic Online University and also the founder of IslamicSelfHelp.com and the author of several books, including Getting the Barakah, which is an Islamic guide to time management, Best of Creation, and Guidelines for Confused Muslims. Sheikh Ismail hosts a weekly radio program on Radio Al Ansar, which is titled Living Islam. It focuses on the practical implementation of Islam in the modern world. He also writes articles for multiple magazines and websites, including IOU Insights and Al Ummah magazine. He also homeschools his four children. He holds a BAIS from the Islamic Online University, which is the BA in Islamic Studies program, as well as a traditional alim degree. And he's currently working towards his master's in Islamic Studies. And now, without further ado, we welcome Sheikh Ismail Kamdar to reveal his tips on how to introduce Ramadan to our kids.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rahmatillil alameen. I'd like to welcome you all to the session. Thank you for joining us today. And alhamdulillah, today we have a very important and a very interesting topic. Today we are going to be looking at the topic of introducing Ramadan to children, to kids. Alhamdulillah, I was very happy when this topic was given to me because this is something which I'm quite passionate about, introducing a different aspect of the religion to children in a way that gets them to love the deen, that gets them excited, and that gradually brings them into the practice of Islam. And so that's going to be the core theme of today's discussion, that we are going to be talking about gradually introducing Ramadan to children, right? Not introducing it all at once, but in steps over a long period of time. So before we get into the actual topic, there is something else related to Ramadan which I wish to speak about for 2 to 5 minutes, and this is, why do we have a month like Ramadan? Why do we have a month of fasting, a month of extra salah, a month of extra ibadah? It is important for us as parents to know this and to understand this, because this is one of the questions that your children will ask you. They might ask you, why do we fast? Why do we fast in Ramadan specifically? Why this month? Why not any other month? Why for an entire month? Children are full of questions. Like, this is the nature of children, that they ask a lot of questions. So before we get into the actual methodology of introducing Islam to kids, let us understand why. And let us look at the maqasid of Ramadan, the objectives of the month of Ramadan. And there are many verses in the Quran where Allah tells us why, specifically in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verses 183 and verse 185. If you look at these two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly mentions some of the objectives of the month of Ramadan, starting with لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may increase in your taqwa. And in the next verse, verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed, هُدَلْ لِنَّاسِ, as guidance for mankind. Right? So, if we had to look at what are the objectives of the month of Ramadan, we will say that the two primary objectives of the month of Ramadan are to increase our taqwa and to increase our guidance, to increase us in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in our understanding and connection to the straight path. This is what Ramadan is about. The fasting, the taraweeh, the extra salah, all of it is meant to increase our taqwa. All of it is meant to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Ramadan is about. And we need to understand this and think about whether we are approaching Ramadan with this mindset. Are we just going through the motions that Ramadan comes, we fast, it ends, and we get on with our lives? Or is Ramadan transforming us? Is Ramadan improving our taqwa? Is it improving our level of guidance? Because understand that if we are not implementing this ourselves, if we are not understanding this ourselves, then we will not be able to pass this on to our children. So this is why it's very important for us to understand the maqasid of Ramadan, the goals and objectives of fasting and praying during the month of Ramadan. So to begin our topic on children, I want to first mention the general guidelines in Islam when it comes to children and acts of ibadah, acts of worship. The first and most important of these guidelines is that the acts of ibadah in Islam, the acts of worship in Islam, are only compulsory upon adults, right? Upon adults, not upon children. And the Islamic definition of an adult is very different from the Western definition of an adult. So we need to be very clear here. In Islam, when we say that fasting is obligatory upon an adult or any act of ibadah that we are talking about, we are referring to someone who has attained puberty. In Islam, once somebody hits puberty, they are an adult. They are responsible. They are mukallaf. They are responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their actions. So your 13-year-old or 14-year-old in your home who has already hit puberty, they are not the kids that you should be introducing Ramadan to. They are the adults who should already have been introduced to Ramadan at a younger age. So we need to move away from this Western idea of what an adult is. And by the way, in the West, there is no clear definition of an adult. Some say 16, some say 18, some say 21. But in reality, these numbers are just made up by people. There's nothing really that differentiates a 17-year-old from an 18-year-old. It's just a matter of days. While puberty is an actual biological thing that differentiates an adult from a child. So Islam has a more scientific and biological approach to what is the definition of an adult. So when we talk about introducing Ramadan to children, we are not talking about someone who is a teenager. We are talking primarily to children between the ages of 4 and 12. Right? And I'm going to split it up into various groups, because as I said, we're going to take a gradual approach. So I will talk about different age groups and what should be introduced at each age. So the first thing to note is that when it comes to children, and that is those who are under the age of puberty, it is not compulsory upon them to fast. It is not compulsory upon them to pray. Right? Ibadah is not compulsory upon them. Rather, this childhood, specifically from the age of 7 to 12, this part of childhood is a training time. It is an education time. It is a period of time where you introduce your child to Islam and give them 5 years to grow into it gradually, so that when they attain puberty, they now have known everything they need to know to be a practicing Muslim, and gradually it has entered their lives, and Alhamdulillah, it has become a part of who they are. So this is the approach you must have when it comes to children. And I mention this because when it comes to kids, I've noticed two opposite extremes when it comes to ibadah. On one extreme, I've noticed those parents who don't emphasize anything. You know, they just say, let the kids do what they want. The kids, let them do what they want. And very often the parents that go with this mindset, they come from a Western background. I mean, they say, let the kids do what they want. They're referring to the 15-year-old, the 16-year-old, those who Islamically are already adults. And so that adult is sinning by not praying salah, by not fasting. And the parent is also sinning for allowing that to happen and for not teaching the child the religion. Understand, O parents in Islam, that if you have not taught your child Islam, and if you allow your teenager who is an adult in Islam to sin, and you have never taught him and showed him the right way, you are also sinning. However, if you taught them what is right and they still do what is wrong, the sin is their own. Understand, your job is to teach them right from wrong. So that is one extreme where there is no introduction to ibadah done at all to the child. On the other extreme, there are those parents who force the child to embrace Ramadan as if they were adults. So they may make a 5-year-old fast the entire day for the entire month of Ramadan. They may have the 7-year-old pray 20 rak'ah of Taraweeh every single night without any excuses. And in this way, they make the religion difficult on that child. By the time that child comes close to the age of puberty and they enter that rebellious teenage phase, they are burnt out and they are frustrated and they are looking to escape rather than having this love and this gradual growing into the religion. So this is the other extreme. What we want is the middle way. And the middle way that we are going to discuss today, I am deducing it from a hadith. This hadith talks about salah, about introducing salah to your children. And I'm going to take an analogy from that hadith. I'm going to take that hadith's core principles and apply it to the concept of fasting as well. Because salah is the second pillar of Islam, fasting is the fourth pillar of Islam. So if this methodology works for salah, it should work for fasting as well. What does the hadith say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that when your child is 7 years old, teach them how to pray. When they are 10 years old, you are allowed to spank them if they don't pray. And by the way, when we say spank them, we're talking about a light disciplinary spanking, not physical abuse that puts them in the hospital. Please be mature enough to be able to differentiate between that which disciplines and that which injures. May Allah protect us from being a cause of injury for any children. So it's important to note that. So the Prophet ﷺ stated, when they are 7, teach them. When they are 10, you become more strict with them. And then he said, when they are 12, they should be responsible and praying by themselves. It should be a part of who they are. This is paraphrasing the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's three principles laid out in this hadith about salah. And from the age of 7 to 9 is the education phase where you are teaching your child. From 10 and 11 is the enforcement age where you are becoming more strict and you are making the child realize that this is something important. It is something that they have to do. And then from the age of 12, they are now entering their adult life and they are now responsible for their own deeds, and the act of ibadah is now a part of who they are. It is something that you don't even need to tell them to do. So now we're going to take the same three principles and we're going to apply it to fasting. That you begin to teach your child about Ramadan from the age of 6 or 7. And from the age of 10, that's when you start getting strict with them about Ramadan. So with your 7-year-old, you may tell him that it would be nice if you fast. Or let's see how many fasts you can keep this year. But with your 10-year-old, he can't make excuses. He has to fast even though it's not compulsory on him because he's close to the age of puberty. And for your 12-year-old, it shouldn't even be a discussion. He should know, it's Ramadan, I have to fast. There's no discussion about it. So this principle Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it about salah, because salah is the most important act of worship. We take the same principle and we apply it to fasting and any other act of worship that we wish to introduce to our children. So we said that that fasting and Ramadan in itself needs to be introduced to our children in a gradual manner. And we need to make it as easy for them as possible to grow into the religion. And again, if you go back to the verse of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the goals of fasting, he mentions something very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are traveling or you are sick, then you can make it up later. Why? Go read the translation and see what Allah says next. After saying that, Allah says, because Allah intends ease for you, He does not intend difficulty for you. Allah says about Ramadan and fasting to the adults that Allah wants it to be easy for you, not difficult for you. So if Allah wants fasting and Ramadan to be easy for the adults, by default, we should be making it even more easy for the children. We should not be enforcing upon a five-year-old to fast the entire month, or upon a seven-year-old to pray long Taraweeh every night. No, we should be making it easy upon them with a gradual introduction. So I'm going to mention six steps, six things that you as a parent can do. And if you do these six things, then inshallah, it will help you to make Ramadan something that your children look forward to. Alhamdulillah, we know we just have a few days left until Ramadan begins. And personally, the only reason that I know exactly how many days are left before Ramadan begins is because my children are doing a countdown. You know, every morning, as soon as I wake up, my kids come to me and they tell me how many days left for Ramadan to begin, because they are that excited about Ramadan. And hopefully, if you follow the same methodology that we do, your kids will be just as excited for Ramadan every single year. So step number one, if you want your kids to be excited about Ramadan, step number one, you must lead by example. You must lead by example. Understand, O parents, that your children do not just follow what you say, or rather, they do not just follow what you say or teach or tell them to read or what they learn in school. Far more than that, they follow what you do. They don't look at what you say, they look at what you do. If you tell your child to sit and recite Quran but you are sitting and watching television, they are not going to take that seriously. If you tell your child to look forward to Ramadan but you yourself are dreading Ramadan, you don't want it to come, then that child is going to look at you and what you are going through and what you are experiencing. You know, I mean, if you treat Ramadan as something that's a burden, then that's how your child is going to feel as well. So we have to walk the walk. We have to lead by example. Understand that you are your child's role model. Especially if your child is under the age of 10, you are their role model. From the age of 10, it tends to become their friends who they take more as role models. But below the age of 10, you are your child's role model. Your child looks up to you. So if you are not praying your five daily salah, your child is not going to take it seriously. If you are not observing the hijab, your child is not going to take it seriously. If you are not fasting properly, your child is not going to take it seriously. And if you are not looking forward to the month of Ramadan, your child is not going to take that seriously either. You have to lead by example. So step number one is that we need to be role models to our children. It's true that we can't be perfect. It's true that we all have our sins. Part of being a role model is admitting that. You know, if you do something wrong and your child tells you, you know, you told us that this is wrong and I saw you do it, you should be humble enough to say you are right and ask Allah to forgive me. And thank you for pointing it out. You should be humble enough to say that to your child. They will actually respect you more for being humble and showing them how to make istighfar than pretending to be perfect and defending your own sins. So we need to lead by example. Leading by example primarily means that whatever is compulsory to do in the month of Ramadan, we are doing it. So we are fasting the month of Ramadan and we are praying the five daily salah and we are staying away from sins. Beyond that, we do what is recommended, what is sunnah, like praying the Taraweeh and waking up for suhoor. And we do all of these things, and our children can see this and they can observe this. From the time they are babies, they are observing this every once a year, that their parents are waking up and they are praying and they are eating and they are fasting. And as they get older, the questions come. So if you are practicing, your child is far more likely to take it seriously. So that's step number one. You need to practice the deen yourself and you need to be a role model. Step number two, if you want your kids to be excited about Ramadan, you need to be excited about Ramadan. I mean, if you're the kind of father who is sitting around grumbling about how Ramadan is going to sap your productivity and how you're not going to be able to watch your sports because it's going to be Tarawih time, if you've got that kind of attitude, your kid's not going to have a happy attitude about Ramadan either. If you're the kind of mother who's only complaining about how much cooking there's going to be and how, you know, the fasting is going to make you weak and you're going to miss your favorite daytime television shows, then again, that attitude is going to rub off onto the child. You need to be passionate about Ramadan. The kids need to see that mom and dad look forward to Ramadan every year. Because it's only when you look forward to Ramadan every year that your children will do the same. There's a few things you can do to build that excitement, right? One of the things we do is we have a countdown. We count down the number of days until Ramadan begins. So every day, the kids know, 13 days left until Ramadan, 12 days left until Ramadan, 10 days left until Ramadan, and this continues and continues, and it builds up that excitement. And then on that last day, to build up that excitement even more, take your child outside to look for the new moon. Look for the new moon together. Make it a family thing that you're all looking into the sky and trying to spot the moon. And, you know, that feeling that your child will have if they actually see the moon, and then after that, it's announced that Ramadan has started, and they will feel a special connection to Ramadan that year because they were there and they sighted the moon at the time when the announcement was made. It becomes a special feeling and will make them even more excited about Ramadan every single year. Get them involved in the preparations for Ramadan. You know, if you know, a lot of mothers say that they have a lot of work to do in the kitchen in preparing for Ramadan. Well, if that's the case, get the children to help you in whatever way they can. Get them to help you in the kitchen. Get them part of that feeling that they're helping their mother prepare. Sit down with them and give them your expectations for Ramadan, that they are now a certain age and you expect them to fast as much as they can, or to recite extra Quran, or whatever it is. Make your expectations clear and make sure that you convey it in a way that makes them excited or happy to comply, rather than making it sound like a burden. So you need to be excited, and this excitement and this enthusiasm will inshallah spread to your children. The third thing that you can do to introduce Ramadan to your kids is to establish in the month of Ramadan a family halaqa, a family gathering to learn Islam together. Ramadan is a time when we are supposed to increase our understanding of the Quran and our guidance and our understanding of the religion. And so this shouldn't just be for the adults, it should be for the children as well. And one of the best ways to do that is at least once a day, even if it's just for 10 minutes, you'll gather together and you'll learn something about Islam together. Of course, you want to keep it age appropriate. You know, if you have 7-year-old and 5-year-old children, you don't want to be talking about technical things which they don't understand at their age. You want to keep the lessons on their age level. But this is something you need to do if you want Ramadan to be memorable. That just before iftar or just after Taraweeh, whatever time is suitable for your family, you'll all gather together and you'll either listen to a lecture or watch a lecture, or if you have the knowledge yourself, alhamdulillah, then you teach your children. You teach them the deen. Every day you'll get together and you'll discuss something about the religion, something that you all can learn together and grow together from. This becomes a memorable experience for them growing up, that when they grow up, they will have these memories of sitting with their mother and father in the month of Ramadan and learning the religion of Islam. So that's the third thing that you can do, and that is to have a family halaqa. Number four, and this is the one I'm going to spend the most time on, is when it comes to the actual acts of worship, you want to introduce this to your child gradually. Now, what I'm going to speak about now is for each age group, what are you going to tell them and teach them about Ramadan, right? So let's get down to the youngest age group, starting with 2, 3, 4-year-olds. You have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old in your house. You do not expect them, and you should not expect them to be doing any ibadah. They are kids. They are very small kids. Let them play. Let them have fun. Let them be kids. Right? But you tell them, Ramadan is coming up. Mom and dad are going to be fasting. Your big brothers and sisters are going to be fasting. Tell them what fasting is. We don't eat or drink from morning till evening. Right? Tell them that you're going to be praying extra. Get them on board for looking for the moon. But don't expect any ibadah from them. Don't expect your four-year-old to be sitting and reciting Quran, or your five-year-old to be fasting from dawn to sunset. No, they are at a very young age. The religion does not expect this from them, neither should we. Right? We, at this age, should just introduce them to the concept of Ramadan. That every year, at a certain time of the year, the big people, they fast. This is what the child knows. That the big people fast during this time of the year. So, this is what you do for a child who is 2, 3, or 4 years old. From the age of 5, 5 and 6, at this age, they gain a bit more understanding and they want to do things, you know, to be like their parents. So at this age, you can now start encouraging them to try to fast. Try to fast, you know, wake them up for suhoor, have them eat with the family, tell them to try to fast, maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, sometimes maybe only 2 hours, they'll get through and then they may want to break the fast. It's fine. The kids, there's no obligation upon them to fast. This is now a training period where they're getting accustomed to the idea of staying away from food and drink for a certain amount of hours, right? So at this age, there's no obligation on them, there's no pressure on them. You're not even telling them to fast the entire day or the entire month. It's just a, you know, something that's a new challenge for them. Try and do it. And they may surprise you, they may fast an entire day once or twice, or they may fast half a day for the entire month, but their body is now getting used to this idea of staying away from food and drink for a certain amount of time without any pressure, without anyone being strict with them, without anyone forcing it upon them. It's something that, you know, 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, they generally want to, you know, to take on these challenges and you know, to prove they can do what the big people do. So that's a good age where to just let them experiment with fasting on their own, even if it's just for a few hours. Now, from the age of 7, remember the hadith we spoke about, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated that you teach them to pray at the age of 7. So now we apply the same principle. For 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, you teach them to fast. You teach them to fast, meaning you now start encouraging them to fast the entire day. And you start teaching them more details about the laws of fasting. So you tell them, right, you sit down with your 7-year-old, 8-year-old, you teach them that every Ramadan, it is obligatory upon adults to fast from dawn until sunset. Fasting means staying away from food and from eating and drinking, right? You don't have to tell them at this age, obviously, about the third thing that they have to stay away from. That's when before they hit puberty, you teach them about that. At this age, you teach them what is age appropriate, that they stay away from food and from drinking, right? So you teach them these basic things about Taraweeh, about about what breaks the fast, and about how many days you fast. All of these things, you start introducing them to the fiqh of it at the age of 7, 8, and 9. So at this age, they are in the education age. They are learning every day. They're learning maths, they're learning English, they're learning science. They're learning all these subjects. They can learn the deen just as well. At this age, their minds are like sponges. They learn a lot. So this is the age where you want to focus on teaching them. So teach them the fiqh. Teach them the history of Ramadan. Teach them the benefits of fasting. Teach them about what happens if you lie or you backbite while fasting. Teach them about Taraweeh, about Eid Salah. Everything that you need to teach them about the fiqh of fasting. From the age to 7 to 9, this is the right age period to teach them basic fiqh. So that's what happens in the age 7 and 8. And what will happen now is during this age group, they may start fasting the entire month or the entire day for a few days. So a 7-year-old may fast the entire day, 15 or 16 days, right? Or he may even fast the entire month. Every child is different. Again, there's no obligation upon them. You are teaching them, you are not forcing them. So now they will try, and some of them may not. By the age of 9, because they have been trying every Ramadan for the past 3 or 4 years, by the age of 9, they will be accustomed to it and they may now be fasting every day in the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Then comes the age of 10. And again, the hadith is clear that when the child is 10 years old, that's when you start to get more strict with them about the acts of worship. To let them know that there's two sides to every act of worship. There is a reward for doing it, and there is punishment for not doing it. Right? So for a 10-year-old, the punishment comes from the parent. But for a 12, for someone who hits puberty and onwards, the punishment is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, that's when you're going to start getting a bit more strict. And you're going to tell them, listen, you are 10 years old now. You are no more a small child. You are bigger. You have to fast. Right? I want you to fast the entire month. This is something that you need to learn, because it's something that all of the adults do, and you're going to be an adult soon. Right? So at this age, you now start being more strict, that they start fasting the entire month. And they should pray Taraweeh, 8 rakah, 20 rakah, whatever opinion you follow, they should pray the Taraweeh at night as much as they can. Again, Taraweeh is not compulsory, it is a sunnah, but as much as they can. They should recite more Quran every day. Of course, you don't have to expect a 6-year-old or 5-year-old to be reciting Quran every day, but a 10-year-old, you can expect this from him. It's reasonable for a 10-year-old, right? So that's for 10 and 11. Now, once your child hits 12, that's when there's no more introducing them to Ramadan. By the age of 12, the introduction has come many years ago. They were introduced to the concept of Ramadan from the age of 2 to 5. They were introduced to fasting as a activity from the age of 5, 6, and 7. They got accustomed to fasting the entire day between the ages of 7 and 9. And from the age of 10 and 11, they have been fasting and praying the Taraweeh and reciting Quran. By the age of 12, there's no more introduction to be done. Ramadan and fasting is now a part of who they are, and it is a part of their way of life. It's a part of some of how they live Islam. But one thing that you will introduce them to at the age of 12 is the more detailed laws of fasting, which do not apply to a child, right? So they're going to be hitting puberty soon, so they need to learn the laws of sexuality in Islam, that those things also break the fast, and these things have to be spoken to them before they hit puberty. Otherwise, they may be doing things that violate the fast without realizing it violates the fast after hitting puberty. So as parents and as teachers, it's necessary for us, when a child is 11 or 12, just before they hit puberty, to educate them on these issues as well. So that is how you gradually introduce the acts of worship to children. At each age group, you introduce that which is appropriate for that age. Moving on to step number 5 for making Ramadan exciting for our children. Step number 5 is to make every day, as best as you can, make suhoor and iftar a memory for them. Make it a memorable thing, that throughout the year they remember waking up for suhoor. It's a happy memory. You know, they remember iftar, it's a happy memory. And they remember Eid day as something they look forward to every single year. So suhoor is something that for children is naturally memorable, because children, by their nature, they love to wake up in the middle of the night and snack. Right? This is something which is appealing to every child. So the idea of the entire family waking up when it is still dark and eating pancakes or whatever it is the kids enjoy, you know, in the middle of the night, in their perspective, of course we know it's morning but not yet dawn, but from a child's perspective, they are waking up when it is still dark and enjoying this tasty food. This becomes a memory for them. It's something they start looking forward to every year. And they look forward to doing it as a family. And inshallah, it grows as a family tradition. So inshallah, when they are teenagers, they still have suhoor with the family. And then iftar. Take them to the masjid. Let them have iftar with the community. You know, let them take things to share and to distribute amongst other people in the masjid. And let the children themselves be the ones that are distributing and giving food to others in the masjid iftar time, so that they grow up with this sense of serving the community, that they're not just consumers, but they are people who give back and share with the community. So iftar becomes memorable, that they are sharing with people, they are giving people, they are opening their fast with all different members of the community, the rich and the poor alike, all sitting together in the masjid and opening their fast. If this is possible where you live, try to do it inshallah. And the third thing is Eid, right? Suhoor, Iftar, and the third one is Eid. Make Eid special every single year. Now, each year, try to make Eid even more special than the year before. In Islam, we only have two religious holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So we should go out of our way to make these 2 days special for our children. We should make our Eid so special to them that they shouldn't even think about Christmas and Easter and all of these Christian holidays and Hindu holidays, because they know they have Eid. And Eid's what gets them excited. Now, one of the reasons why many young children are attracted to the holidays of other religions is because the people of those religions make their holidays fun for the children. But some of us tend to be a bit too strict on Eid Day, and we don't really go out of our way to make it fun. So the way to counter this is that we make Eid a day of fun. And there are many hadiths to support that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his time, Eid was a fun day. It was a day when people had fun and when they did things which were fun and memorable, because this is what Eid is meant to be. It's meant to be the religious holiday of the Muslims, that you've just completed an entire month of fasting. Now let's have celebrations, let's eat, let's have fun, let's have share gifts, let's just have a good day of remembering Allah and having halal fun and enjoying that which Allah has made halal for us. So make Eid memorable, and every year they look forward to Eid, and of course they look forward to Ramadan as well, because they both go together. The final point about making Ramadan special for your children is that you need to keep that spirit of Ramadan alive throughout the year. You don't want it to be that only in the month of Ramadan mom and dad pray. No, I mean, your kids, they're watching you. If this is how we are, our kids are observing this, then mom and dad only pray in Ramadan. They only open the Quran in Ramadan. Mom only covers her hair in Ramadan. You know, they're watching this, and it's giving them this perception that, hold on, mom and dad taught us we must do these things all year round, but they only do it in Ramadan. So what do you think that child's going to grow up thinking? What's going to be their perception of Islam? Understand that the obligatory acts of worship, we should fulfill it throughout our lives, not only in Ramadan. And we should try our best to keep the spirit of Ramadan going throughout the year. Meaning we should live off that iman boost we get in Ramadan. That in Ramadan you manage to establish a new habit of reciting Quran every day, you should keep that momentum throughout the year. Maybe not on the same level, right? In Ramadan, you were able to recite one juz of the Quran every day, mashallah. Outside of Ramadan, at least keep the momentum of reciting 5 minutes or 10 minutes of Quran every day. You know, in Ramadan, you prayed 8 rakats of Qiyamul Layl every night, mashallah. Outside of Ramadan, try to keep that momentum and pray 2 rakats of Qiyamul Layl every night. Not saying that your level of ibadah must be the same outside of Ramadan and inside of Ramadan. For most people, this is not possible, but that momentum must be there. That it mustn't be that that's the only time you do good deeds. Rather, it should be a month of change, where you change something about yourself, and that change persists after Ramadan is over. And so when you do this, the kids begin to see that Ramadan is special. And the Ramadan changes their parents. And the Ramadan changes people. And the Ramadan makes people better. And this keeps that spirit of Ramadan alive. That keeps people excited about Ramadan throughout the year. So remind them also, another thing you can do to keep the spirit of Ramadan going throughout the year is to remind them throughout the year of whatever you learned in the month of Ramadan. So maybe later in the year, you know, the kids may have been lying or backbiting. Remind them that, remember that time in Ramadan we sat together as a family and we learned about backbiting being haram or lying being haram. So remind them about what they learned in Ramadan. So the lessons become lessons for life and not just lessons for the month of Ramadan. And the final thing you can do to keep that spirit of Ramadan alive after Ramadan is to have a countdown. Now, 11 months left till the next Ramadan, 10 months left till the next Ramadan. And by the time the final month comes down, you start counting the days. So in this way, that excitement for Ramadan, it never goes away. Your kids look forward to it every year. they gradually grow into the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It becomes something that they look forward to, it becomes something they understand, it becomes something they see the benefit in, and it becomes something that transforms them and you. As a community, as a family, there is transformation in the month of Ramadan. So this is my presentation for today on introducing Ramadan to children. And alhamdulillah, we still have quite a bit of time left, so inshallah, we'll be going to Q&A soon. That if you have any questions related to the to raising children, and particularly to raising children in the month of Ramadan and introducing them to the month of Ramadan, this is your opportunity, inshallah, to ask, and inshallah, I will answer to the best of my ability. So with that, I want to conclude my presentation by asking Allah to make this Ramadan beneficial for each and every one of us and our families, and to help us raise a generation of practicing Muslims who will be able to revive Islam across the world, and to make this task of parenting easy upon all of us, and to put into the hearts of the Muslim children across the globe that love for Islam, the understanding of Islam, and the desire to practice Islam. Understand, O parents, that it's really up to us to make a change, even if it's just in the lives of our children. Because if each of us are trying to raise righteous children, then the next generation will inshallah be better than our generation. And in that way, perhaps we may see the revival of Islam in our generation or theirs or the one after that. But it starts with us as parents, that we have this responsibility to raise children who love Allah and who love His deen and who practice it and follow it and understand it. So with that, I will conclude. Jazakallah khair to all of you for your time and for your attention. May Allah help us to practice on what we have learned. Inshallah, we will now go to the Q&A segment. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that was an amazing session and a whole lot of information which perhaps we have never thought about or maybe never implemented in the manner suggested. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. I hope that all our lovely audience benefited from this session as well, inshallah. Okay, so as the Sheikh said, we are now open to questions. As requested earlier as well, the guests are required to type in your questions in the chat box. Please note that the questions will be taken on first-come, first-served basis, inshallah. And if some questions are left out due to time constraints, please bear with us. We'll try our best, inshallah, to include all of them. Okay, the first question is from Dania. What if you haven't taught them properly and they are 11 years old? What do we do then?
It's a very important question. Of course, none of us are perfect, and many of us only started learning the deen or practicing the deen later, and our kids were already bigger. Or many of us, we may have learned the deen, but we didn't know how to introduce this concept at a younger age. It's always possible, no matter how old someone is, to introduce them to these concepts. Now, with an 11-year-old, it is a bit more challenging compared to a younger child, because they're getting close to that rebellious age, that mischievous age. They want to be like their friends, and so this becomes a bit more difficult. It would be easier to answer that question if there was more context why that child didn't know before that age about Ramadan. But just to give some general guidelines, one of the things you can do is to find out if there are any local children's programs about Ramadan, right? Or maybe there's a sheikh in your community who's having a program to teach about Ramadan to children. Or maybe there's a YouTube video that you find aimed at that age group about Ramadan. Find some resource that's age appropriate that introduces the child to Ramadan, and give that to your child, share that with your child, learn it together. The other thing that you need to keep in mind is if your child's only being introduced to Ramadan at the age of 11, you have to introduce them to fasting, because within a year or two, if they are boys, within the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to attain puberty. If they are girls, they may already have attained puberty. And so fasting becomes obligatory upon them in this age group. So that fasting is the fundamental thing to focus on now. The Ramadan is the month of fasting. This is how we fast. This is what we need to do. And you're also going to have to fast. Now, it's not going to be easy because they're not accustomed to it yet. But you're just going to have to do it, right? This is just, when we leave something for too long, there's no easy or quick fix solution. It's just a matter of doing what we have to do and making dua and asking Allah to help us. Understand that if you're 11-year-old being introduced to Ramadan, there are many people who have converted to Islam who were introduced to Ramadan at a much older age. Right? If someone converts to Islam at the age of 26 or 45, then that Ramadan becomes their first Ramadan and their first introduction to fasting. But still, subhanAllah, they are able to learn and they're able to do it. And alhamdulillah, they are able to grow and over time start doing it properly. So it's never too late to learn. Find age appropriate material to teach them and focus primarily on the fasting. If the child hasn't been introduced to praying five times a day, then that should be more important than the Taraweeh, that you focus on praying five times a day, even if they don't pray the Taraweeh, because the five daily salah are the second pillar of Islam, and the Taraweeh is sunnah, so the second pillar of Islam should be your priority. So focus on those things, the five salah and the fasting, and inshallah, once that becomes something that your child is accustomed to, then you can introduce them to the other things as well, inshallah.
Okay, the next question is by Sister Mufida. I believe this has been covered already. Is it obligatory for a 9.5-year-old to fast?
Generally, no. Right? Again, the criterion for fasting to become obligatory is if someone has attained puberty. Now, it is possible for a girl to attain puberty at the age of 9. So, that becomes a deciding factor. Whether the person has attained puberty or not. For a girl, once they hit 12 or 13, then it's definitely obligatory upon them to fast. And for a boy, once they become 15, if they haven't seen the signs of puberty yet, it becomes obligatory upon them to fast. Younger than that, it's only about the puberty issue. So in the case of a girl, you know, to make it more clear, if that girl has started experiencing menstruation, then it's obligatory upon her to fast. If not, she's still a child and she doesn't have to fast. The law in Islam is very simple. Fasting is obligatory upon adults. It is not obligatory upon children. So if the child is under the age of puberty, meaning they haven't experienced puberty yet, then there's no fasting for them. It's training, it's experience, it's growth, it's getting used to the ibadah, but it's not wajib, right? Once they hit puberty, even if it's in the middle of Ramadan, that the boy becomes baligh, the next day fasting becomes obligatory upon them because they are now adults. Right? So that is our criterion for differentiating between who it is obligatory upon to fast and who it is not.
The next question is by Sister Latifa. She wants to know that, can kids be allowed to fast till 3 p.m., maybe to teach them how to fast?
Yes, as I've mentioned this already, that as much as they can manage, whether it's 4 hours, 5 hours, again, the fast is not compulsory upon them, it's just training, right? So, you know, in my home, we have this thing that we call the half-day fast. If you can't fast the entire day, at least try for half-day, right? And I know for my five-year-old, He'll wake up for suhoor and 3 hours later he'll say he wants to break his fast. We'll say fine, you manage to do 3 hours without food and drink. Right? It's training for them. There's no obligation on them. So yes, whether it's till 3 p.m., whether it's till lunchtime, whatever it is, it's not obligatory upon them to fast. So this is just a training. So if they are unable to complete it, let them eat because they are still children and it's not obligatory upon them yet.
Okay, the next question is by Aisha. She wants to know how to explain that backbiting is haram to children when they are fond of complaining about their siblings.
Okay. Well, when it comes to complaining about their siblings, you want to take a middle path here, right? On one hand, if their sibling is doing something really bad to them, they need to complain to the parents about it. You can't tell them that that's haram. That's not actually haram. That's something they need to do because they can't defend themselves. So, for example, if a child is bullying another child, there's nothing wrong with that child complaining to their mother about it. That's not backbiting. That is, going to the authority who can fix the problem. So we need to make a differentiation here. That when there is an issue between two children, there's nothing wrong with one of them taking it to the parent and the parent resolving it. However, if they are complaining about their siblings to their friends, this becomes backbiting because their friends cannot do anything to fix the problem, right? It just becomes spreading a bad name to somebody who's your family. Now, how do you explain to children that backbiting is bad? It becomes a matter of empathy, putting yourself in the other person's shoes. Simply tell your child that if your brother had to say this about you, how would you feel? And give them a moment to think about it. And that child may say that if my brother said that about me, I'd be very sad and it'll hurt me and I wouldn't like it. Then tell them that's how your brother is feeling because of what you said to your friends. You see, this is how you get a child to understand why certain things are wrong. By putting them in the other person's situation, making them understand how this hurts people. Because a child may not realize that what comes out of their mouth can hurt people. They may think only physical violence hurts. You know, you have to get them to think about how their words can hurt their relationship with their siblings. So again, to be clear, a child complaining to their parent about the siblings on a serious issue, that's not backbiting because their parents are the only one who can resolve it, right? But going to their friends and other people and talking bad about their siblings, this is not acceptable. This is something you have to train them not to do. Discuss with them the hadiths and the Quranic verses about backbiting. Explain to them about why it is wrong. If your child has memorized the basic surahs, then he's already memorized وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Tell them what that means. That destruction and hellfire to those who backbite and gossip. Right? That's what the verse means. This shows them it's a serious thing that even Allah has spoken about it in this way in the Quran. So yes, you have to discuss with them. You have to show them how to have empathy, how to understand how this hurts the other person. And you still have to leave that door of communication open that your child can speak to you if there's a serious issue with their sibling. Okay, next question, please.
The next question is by Fadia. She wants to know, how do you explain to a 9-year-old that it is obligatory to fast on every Muslim when he sees his father is not fasting?
Well, you have to teach them the truth, right? But if the father is not fasting because of legitimate Islamic reasons or just because they're not practicing Islam, this becomes two different issues, right? Because when you teach a child, you have to teach them the fiqh, that it's obligatory upon an adult to fast. But if they are traveling or they are sick or if the woman is pregnant or all these other exceptions, they don't have to fast. Right? So of course, if you teach them like that and the father is not fasting because he's traveling or he's ill, the child will understand. The more serious situation is where the father is not fasting because he doesn't take Islam seriously. There, as a mother, it is still obligatory upon your children to teach them right from wrong, right? And it has to be clear that what their father is doing is wrong without being disrespectful, without telling them to disrespect their father, right? But they need to know that in Islam, fasting is obligatory. If someone chooses not to fast, they are committing a sin. That's all. You know, you're not going to fight to the father, you're not going to tell them to fight to their father, but you are making the law clear. You cannot change the message because someone's not practicing it, right? So you have to tell the child it's obligatory. Those who don't do it, they are committing a sin, and you ask Allah to guide them, and you must make dua that Allah gives your father the guidance to pray to fast the month of Ramadan. Right? Teach them to make dua for these people that Allah guide them rather than hating them. That is more important. Allah guides them. Allah knows best. Okay, next question.
This question is from Sister Bela. She wants to know, is it okay to give gifts to 5-year-olds when they fast for a few hours and to celebrate their first day of fasting by inviting people for iftar and giving him presents in order to make him feel special about fasting?
Well, there's no problem with any of this. Again, they are children, and the issue of them having ikhlasun niyyah and doing it only for the sake of Allah, this is something they can't comprehend yet. This is something they'll understand when they become more mature. At that age, they are children. They are doing something to please their parents or to be like their parents, or because they know this is the right thing to do. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging them through a reward system. Rather, what you are doing is you are getting them accustomed to the idea that when you do something good, there is a reward for it. And now you are 5 years old, so the reward is coming from your parents. When you're an adult, the reward will come from Allah. Right? This is how you have to teach them. It shouldn't be taught in a way that, you know, you're 5 years old, so I'm giving you a gift for fasting. And when you're 15 years old, I'm still going to be giving you gifts for fasting. And when you're 55 years old, I'm still going to be giving you gifts for fasting. No, it should be something obvious to the child that this is only the children that get gifts. And later on, when we're bigger, it's Allah who's going to reward us. Right? So he introduces them to the idea that good deeds are rewarded. It's just at their age, it's their parents who are giving them something. And inshallah, when they're bigger, the reward will be from Allah. Right? So for small children, those who are, I would say, maybe 7 and below, there's no problem with this. Allah knows best. From 7, they become more understanding that these things should be done for the sake of Allah. Okay? Allah knows best.
The next question is by Zahida. She says, I'm 12 years old, and my question is, how do I keep focused while fasting and keep away from temptations?
Okay, mashallah, very good question, and jazakallah for joining us, mashallah. When you 12 years old, how do you stay focused while fasting? The first thing is to make sure that your intention is correct, that you are fasting in order to increase your taqwa and to increase your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, definitely, while you are fasting, you will face temptations. This is for everyone, no matter how old you get. When you're 25, 35, 45, the test will still come. Right? Test will still come. People want to backbite on you, situation will pop up where you want to lie, all other kinds of sins, the test will be there because life is a test. This world is a test. Right? We need to be clear about what our goal is. Again, being perfect is not possible, but you work towards your goal. When you slip up, you say astaghfirullah, you ask Allah to forgive you, and you keep moving forward. That's how you work towards earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not by being perfect, it's by being your best with sincere intentions. So some of the things you can do to avoid temptation in the month of Ramadan is to surround yourself with good company. Surround yourself with good company. And stay away from things that make you think about wrong things. So for example, the television, right? Stay away from watching things which put bad thoughts in your mind. Stay away from websites that put bad thoughts in your mind. Stay away from company that make you backbite and gossip. In Ramadan, it's better to be just with yourself and with your family and focusing on ibadah than to be, you know, hanging out in the malls or, you know, sitting in front of the television, because that's where the temptation comes in to come at the wrong things. So you want to close the doors to things that lead you astray. You want to stay away from bad company. You want to focus on your intention to become a better Muslim. And, of course, you want to be making istighfar, asking Allah to forgive you every time you slip up, because it is human to slip up. And may Allah help us all to be the best that we can be and to forgive us all when we make mistakes. Okay. Next question, please.
The next question is from Madliha Khan. She says that it's extremely hot in India. So how do we keep the children hydrated when they fast?
Okay. Well, again, it's not obligatory upon the child to fast. So if there is a danger to their life and, you know, there's a fear of dehydration and, you know, sickness, then the child should break their fast because it's not obligatory upon them. But a few things you can do to stay hydrated in the month of Ramadan is to drink a lot of water at night. At night, not at suhoor time, but at night. Drink as much water as you can and encourage your kids to drink as much water as they can from iftar time until they go to bed at night. And then to have a bit more at suhoor time. So that water gets stored in the body and it'll take longer for them to use it up. The second thing is to keep them away from too much physical activities, right? So if they go for swimming classes or for martial arts or for soccer or for cricket or for other kinds of physical activities, and you know it's really, really hot and they're going to come back tired and thirsty and dehydrated, it's better for that 30 days to say, listen, we're not going to do this for the month of Ramadan. After Ramadan, you can go back to it. classes. If you feel it's going to affect their fasting and their concentration and their hydration levels, right? So better to limit their outdoor physical activities in the month of Ramadan so they can focus on fasting instead. So I think if the physical activity while fasting is less, if they stay indoors as much as possible, and if they drink water at night as much as they can, then inshallah they will manage the fast. Even if it's a long fast, they still will manage. It's amazing how long a human being can actually go without water if they need to. Okay? But remember, they are children. Fasting is not obligatory upon them. So if there is a danger to their health, please give them water and do not, you know, let things get worse. Okay, next question, please.
Latifa asks, how can you punish a six-year-old for lying?
Okay, at the age of six, the child hasn't yet understood why lying is bad, right? And very often it may be punishment that led them to start lying in the first place. You see, what might happen is that a child may have done something wrong. Just say the child broke a plate, and the mother asked who broke the plate, and the child spoke the truth and said, I broke the plate, and the mother then hit the child. By doing this, you are teaching your child that if you speak the truth, I will hit you. So the next time the child breaks that plate and the mother asks who broke it, the child will say, I don't know. The child will lie because they know if they speak the truth, they're going to get punished. So I don't think punishment is the right way to get a child off lying. If they are lying, it's because there is something that made them react in that way. It's because they are afraid to tell the truth. It's because something bad happened to them when they tell the truth. Maybe some other aspect of our parenting needs to change because something else we are doing is making the child lie, right? So we need to create for our children environments where they can tell the truth without getting in trouble for it. Or rather, the trouble they will get in for telling the truth is less than the trouble they will get in, you know, for lying. Now, some of the things you can do is to, again, I spoke earlier about the empathy issue. Get them to understand how bad lying is. One of the examples I give my children is how one lie leads to another, and that if you get into the habit of lying, you end up having to tell hundreds of lies. You know, I gave them the example that if someone asks you who broke the toy and you say I don't know, that becomes the first lie. And they'll say, if you don't know, who do you think did it? And then you may point to somebody else, that becomes a second lie. And then you may say, I saw him do it, and that becomes a third lie. And so what happens is one lie leads to another. Now imagine how many lies Allah will be holding against you, and will Allah be happy with you for that? And then the other way is to show them what happens when all these lies come back to haunt someone. That someone was lying upon lying, and you know the famous story to teach them is the boy who cried wolf. Not sure if you are familiar with the story. You can check it up online, the boy who cried wolf. Very famous metaphor about fictional story about the danger of lying. My kids read that story and it really drove straight to them the point about just how bad it is to lie often, right? But again, from a parenting perspective, we should be raising our children in a way that they should be comfortable telling us the truth. They should not be afraid to tell us the truth. If they are lying out of fear of us, it means the way we are raising them is not right. The way we are raising them is making them lie. So let us first introspect and check whether we are overreacting to their mistakes, because that's the main cause of children lying. And if that's the case, we should fix ourselves first and adopt a more moderate way of dealing with our children's mistakes. If that's not the problem, if it's just from them personally, then you want to educate them, teach them these stories, teach them these lessons, teach them the repercussions of lying. And inshallah, over time, they will understand and they will learn to speak the truth when they need to. Also, another thing which I like to tell children is that lying is a form of being a coward, and speaking the truth is a type of courage, a type of bravery. See, children like to be brave. They like to think of themselves as brave. They like to show their bravery. So frame it in this way. Speaking the truth is being brave. You know, you might get in trouble, but you still spoke the truth. That's something that, you know, that takes a lot of courage. So if you teach your child in that way, they will now associate speaking the truth with courage and bravery, and it will become something they'll be more motivated to do, inshallah. So these are a few ways in which to deal with this issue. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Khair. We can, inshallah, move on to the next question.
The next question is from Zainab. She wants to know what are some good topics to talk about with a 4-year-old in Ramadan?
With a 4-year-old, at that age, when it comes to Islam, I only teach about two things: Islamic manners and stories. Right? Beyond that, there's not much that they'll understand. You give them a basic understanding that we worship Allah and Allah created everything. But you go into more details about Aqidah, I find when they're 5 or 6, it becomes easier to explain. So with a 4-year-old, my general methodology with 4 and 5-year-olds is to focus on manners and character, to teach them about being good people. You know, don't lie and don't bully and don't hurt people and don't make people cry and these kind of things. And so, you know, that you'll sit together as a family and you'll teach it as this is what Islam teaches and this is how it should be. These are the topics that should be the focus at that point in time. So from the age of 4 or 5, that child is growing up with the correct manners and character. And this will become a part of whom they are before they enter the teenage phase, which is one of the biggest tests of life. So this is why I believe that's what should be focused on at that age, with manners and character. And with that, stories. And what you'll find is that the stories in Islamic history, generally the lesson is something to do with moral or character. Generally, the lessons to do with being brave or speaking the truth or, you know, having good manners or having good character in different ways, being humble. And so through these stories, you introduce them to the personality of a Muslim, right? So those are the two things you focus on at that age: stories and good character, good manners. And inshallah, when they are older, you can bring in more technical subjects. So next question, please.
Okay, Sheikh, we'll be taking 2 more questions now. The next question is by Parima. She wants to know, what do we do if we have done all that you've said, but our children are still lazy?
Okay, at the end of the day, we are responsible to teach our children Islam. Guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who puts hidayah and guidance into the hearts of people. We cannot force someone to love Allah. We cannot force someone to be a practicing Muslim. We cannot force someone to believe in Islam. All we can do is teach them, lead by example, make dua for them, and show them the right way. If after all of that, the child still chooses the wrong way, the only thing you can do once they hit puberty and once they become adults and they don't want to, you know, to practice Islam anymore, the only thing you can do now is make dua and talk to them. That's all you can do now. Make dua for them and talk to them. And I would say, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Because children go through phases in their life. If you taught them the right thing, they may go through a few years where they become rebellious and they want to experiment and do the wrong things. But then when something happens, or when they grow up, or when they get married, or when they have their own kids, or when they get their first job, or some major life event happens, they begin to realize, whatever my mother taught me was right. And my mother had a point that the way my mother did things was right. And that's when they come back to what you taught them. So, don't lose hope. Continue to make dua. Be like Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. And so he was amongst the greatest of parents. But his children wanted to kill their own brother. And they said, you know, we'll kill him and then we'll repent and become good people. And they ended up throwing him in a well. And many years and decades passed. But if you read the verses in Surah Yusuf, Yaqub alayhi salam says very clearly that he will never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. And he continued to make dua for all his children. At the end of the day, not only was he reunited with Yusuf alayhi salam, but those other sons of his became good Muslims too. They became good people too eventually. This is the power of the du'as of the parents. So our job when they are younger is to teach them, to lead by example, to make du'a for them, to show them right from wrong. When they become adults, and then, you know, it's now between them and Allah, we can only advise them and make du'a for them. We can't force them at that age. So du'a is the most important thing you can do now. Allah knows best.
Brother Warren asks, how do you explain the reasons of fasting to a young child? And also, how can we keep them motivated, keep the children motivated even after the Ramadan is over?
Inshallah. Okay, the first question is, how do you explain the reasons for fasting to a young child? Alhamdulillah, many of the Islamic studies textbooks out there have already written it and explained it out very well. So you can get it from some of the Islamic studies textbooks. But to put it very simply, Ramadan, this is how I explain it to children. Ramadan is about getting closer to Allah. It's about becoming a better Muslim. It's about helping us grow and become better. That all of us have mistakes, all of us can become better, all of us can grow closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a great time to do that, because we now have a month where shaitan is locked up and where there's so much of extra good deeds that we can do. And so this time is all about becoming better. That by the end of Ramadan, we must be better than in the beginning. I think any child, inshallah, should be able to understand that if they've reached the age of understanding yet. And that's as simple as you can get. You know, I mean, you don't have to use the Arabic words like taqwa and hidayah. You can explain it in simple English to them that it's about becoming a better Muslim. That's really what it's about. You know, increasing taqwa is about becoming a better Muslim. Increasing in guidance is about becoming a better Muslim. So the simplest terms is telling that child that Ramadan is a time to help us all become better Muslims. And the other question is that after the month of Ramadan, how do you keep the spirit of Ramadan alive? Well, one thing is that you continue to play a role in your child's education. You continue to play a role in teaching Islam to your children, even outside the month of Ramadan. And you continue to practice Islam yourself. And another thing you can do is have nafil fast or sunnah fast. You know, so you encourage your child and also with them fast on Ashura, on, you know, the days of Hajj when it's recommended to fast, on maybe on Mondays and Thursdays. These recommended fasts keep that spirit alive outside of Ramadan. And talk about Ramadan. You know, whenever something happens, talk about Ramadan and link it back. Remember in Ramadan we learned this. Remember in Ramadan we did it this way. Remember how good we all were in Ramadan. So in this way, Ramadan stays in their mind as something important, as something that's supposed to be life-changing. And inshallah, in this way, it's something that will affect them throughout their lives, inshallah, that each Ramadan, you will become a better Muslim with each Ramadan, and the same will happen to your children as well. Of course, none of us are perfect, none of us can be perfect, but inshallah, with each Ramadan, you are getting better, and they are getting better, and that is accomplishing the goal of Ramadan. So with that, alhamdulillah, I think that was the final question. I want to thank you all for very interesting questions, which led to a very nice discussion. And may Allah help us all to deal with the challenges of life. May He make this Ramadan that is coming up beneficial to each and every one of us and for our families, and a means of forgiveness for our sins, and a means of bringing us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah help us all to deal with the challenges of parenting, and to help us all to raise children who will inshallah be revivers of this deen and leaders of this ummah. Jazakallah khair to all of your time. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I appreciate for answering all the questions with such a finesse. This come to the end of this webinar, and alhamdulillah, we thank you so much for being a part of the session. A quick announcement before we close. Our next Ramadan retreat session is about productivity in Ramadan. It's about balancing Ramadan and responsibilities. You may be a student, a mother, father, working, anything that keeps you busy. Just learn how to manage your tasks, yet make our Ramadan super productive, inshallah. The session will be delivered to Sri Adam Ashfa on May 30 at 8 p.m. Qatar time. So book your calendars right away, and we'll meet again in just 5 days, inshallah. Till then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.